So we're going to talk through three verses here in Ephesians 5 in just a moment. But deliberate living, this has to do with how we spend our lives. And of course, we as a church family have come up with some goals for this year and how we're to spend our time and what we're working on together. So I'm hoping that maybe, you know, we've talked about this a fair amount this year. We're going to talk about it some more today, but maybe you'll remember some of them. Who can remember one of our goals for the year? We talked about three specific things. And you don't have to get it perfectly. I'll help you with that. But who remembers any one of our three goals? Okay. Growing in ministry. Good job, Christine. Good. Ministering to others. We wanted to have, how did we put it, a steady growth in ministry. And so the idea is, actually, I'm very excited about all the things. For the size of our church, we have so many cool things going. Think about it. We've got the drama team. We've got the worship team, which we would love to have more of you join. We've got food pantry, which I just am overwhelmed with the labor and the support and all that's going into that. It's such a blessing to our community. We've got the Good News Club. We've got the Zone getting ready to start. A number of ladies in our church are doing these things, and they're getting some volunteers from other churches. So there is just a lot going on, and there's a lot of places that you can plug in. Okay, so that's one of our goals this year, growing in ministry. Find your place. Who can tell me a second goal? That's right. Actually, the way he said, invite one person. And what we said, our goal was 50% growth. And the idea is that if every couple, or maybe if you're not a couple, if you partner up with somebody, you go and you find a friend. You build a relationship and you help them learn about the Lord Jesus. And if every couple or each pair of us did that, we'd grow by 50% this year. And we're going to be talking more about that in the next couple of weeks. Who can remember goal number three? Right, so we talked about 100% growth in maturity. And by that, we didn't mean that by the end of the year we're all going to be perfect and be like Jesus. But our idea was all of us will grow to be more like Jesus. We'll all grow in the area of maturity. And one of the things we suggested was maybe you're not tithing yet. And you can begin tithing. That's what she's talking about. But we also have some classes going that are aimed at maturity. Actually, we're going to be starting another one on Sunday mornings. July 16th is my goal. Starting in 3 weeks from today, it's going to be called Discovering My Mission. And it's got so much to do with our goals for this year. So that'll go for a while. I may also, we could do that one also on a weekday night. So if anyone here is interested in doing it, you can't do it on the Sunday morning, and you're interested in doing it on a weekday night, let me know and we'll talk about it. Okay, but deliberate living, it's all about how are we spending our time. Read these three verses together with me if you would before we pray. Ephesians 5, start with verse 15. It says, therefore, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Please pray together with me. Lord, as we take a close, very close look at your word together this morning, I pray that you'll just speak directly to each of our hearts, Lord. That you would do the things that I cannot do, that I could never do. Lord, you know the questions, the intricate details of each life here. And so I just pray for, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would come and you would speak to each person. And I pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. So before we're going to take these verses apart, just a little bit of time, section by section, before we do, think about this idea of deliberate living. Two words. Living. Let's start there. The idea is, how are we spending our time? Every single moment counts. Every decision you make counts. But a powerful point, that every second you have a decision to make, maybe not literally every second, but almost, we're constantly making them. And every choice that you make could either lead you to one life or erase that life. And so how are we going to live life? That's a lot of what these verses are talking about. Think about the second half of it. Not only are we talking about living, but deliberate living. The word deliberate means carefully thought out and done intentionally. Okay, so, you know, where do I want my life to go? You know, there's been a person who said that if you don't aim at anything, then you're sure to hit it, right? I actually read a story this week that I thought was funny, and also that it was instructive. It communicates the idea that no planning is the same as bad planning. These two farmers were out talking, and it was mid-July. And one of them was kind of known for his laziness. And so the other farmer was asking him, he says, so how's your cotton doing? And he says, ain't got none. Well, why not? Didn't plant none. Afraid of the boll weevil. Well, how about your corn? How's your corn doing? Ain't got none. I'm scared of the drought. Oh, okay, well, how about your potatoes? Ain't got none of that either. Didn't plant none. I'm scared of the tater bugs. Well, what did you plant? Nothing. I just played it safe. Kind of funny, but you know, we can play it so safe that we never get around to going after what we really know is valuable and what God tells us is valuable in life. So, deliberate living. Let's go back to these verses and just go through them a section at a time. Start with me back in verse 15. Therefore, be careful how you walk. Be careful. Those words literally mean, it's a Greek word, blepo, it literally means to look, perceive, discern, see. So the idea is watch carefully how you live. And Jesus talked about this a lot, but I just want to quote a couple of verses for you related to this idea. Have you ever tried walking through a room, maybe it's even a room that you know that you live in, with your eyes closed? You know, I've done that sometimes. I'm trying not to wake up the wife or whatever. And even if I know the room that I'm in, I'm still very likely to stump my toe, run into stuff, maybe knock something over, and break it. Okay, what about a room that you don't even know what's in there? Very dangerous to walk through a place like that with your eyes closed, right? But sometimes we walk through life like that with our eyes closed. And of course, watch carefully. These verses are trying to help us not do that. Think about a couple of verses from Proverbs with me. Proverbs 14:12, if you want to write these down, you can. I'm not going to take the time to turn to them. I'll just read it to you. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Interesting. There's a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Now, I have lived a while now, and I know for me personally, I have come to the place where I just trust this book impeccably. I find that whenever I live by it, God blesses me and life is so much better. And yet, here's a verse in the middle of this book that says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is death. It's a little bit of a scary thought. And it just kind of reinforces the idea that we ought to be watching carefully where we're going. This is another verse that backs it up. Jesus said this. This is Matthew 7:13-14. I'll just quote that for you. He said, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide And the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. The gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. So, and this is not, these are not isolated verses, but it's all throughout the Bible. And what Jesus is saying is, guys, the crowd may not be where you want to go. We're living in a nation where, personally, I would suggest to you, you do not want to go where most of our nation is going. And that's not just our nation. That's been the history of humanity. You probably do not want to go where most of the people are going. And that's what these verses are saying. It's going to end up in death. Watch carefully. That takes us to the very next phrase. The very next phrase says, how you walk. Watch carefully how you walk. What's the idea there? Well, I think at least one of the ideas behind that phrase is that we're actually moving forward. We're actually going somewhere. It doesn't say watch carefully how you sleep, right? As a matter of fact, it's kind of that would follow up the verse we didn't read. Look back at verse 14. It says, for this reason, it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. We're going somewhere in life. We don't want to just sleep through life. The person who said, if you aim at nothing, you're sure to hit it, was right. We're not going anywhere. So be careful how you walk. Here's how, this is something Jesus said, and just love his words. Matthew 5, 13 to 16, you know the verses. He said, you're the salt of the earth. Wow, that's pretty cool. That means that there's something you have that adds a very special flavor to life that a lot of other people need. And if you're reading in context of the things that Jesus is saying in that message, it's that you have God in your life and you have God's character qualities in your life. He's just going through a list of character qualities there. You're the salt of the earth. He goes on to say, you're the light of the world. You're the light of the world. The world needs to see you. It's kind of like this. He uses the same picture. Let's say you've got a nice lamp set up on your table and it's getting dark. He says, you go in, you wouldn't go in and turn on the lamp and then find a big cardboard box and bring it in and put it over top of the lamp so you can't see it, right? Who would do that? That would be crazy, unless you had a mouse in there or something, right, that you wanted to give him light. No, you would not do that. You are the light of the world. Live your life in such a way that people will see you and glorify your Father who's in heaven. Let's go on to the next phrase, though. We're still in verse 15. Be careful how you walk, not as unwise men. Not as unwise men. So we have two challenges here, actually, and this first one is the negative challenge. This is the thing that we should not do, not be unwise. Okay, and this word literally means unskilled, foolish, or unwise. So just think about a couple of verses with me. This is from Proverbs 14, 16, if you're writing these down. Proverbs 14, 16. A wise man is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless. Interesting to think about. A fool is arrogant and careless. In other words, hey, I got this. I'm going to live life how I want to live it. You know, it's so easy to think, well, I would never be arrogant, right? That's somebody else. I would never be arrogant. But I'm not so sure that obviously we have some people out there who are arrogant and careless, and they're just going to live life however they want to live life. A wise man, on the other hand, is cautious and turns away from evil. In other words, he listens to the warning. He listens to God's word. Okay, this is not something that I should be involved in. and he lets it redirect his path. Here's another verse. This is Proverbs 12:15. And you might be noticing a theme here. It says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel." The verses, the Bible's filled with this wisdom. The way of a fool is wise in his own eyes. You ever meet someone that no matter what you say, "Well, I'm going to do it my way"? I've met a lot of them. That's the way of a fool. A wise man is someone who listens to counsel. Okay, and we've got some great counselors out there. We've got God's Word. We've got His Spirit. If you've genuinely become a Christian, His Spirit is living inside you. We've got one another, Christian brothers and sisters, all of these different influences in our lives. We'd be very wise to listen to them. Okay, so that was the negative challenge there in verse 15. He says, not as unwise, and then the positive challenge is, but as wise. Don't be this way, but actually live as a wise man lives. This is the positive challenge. Practice wisdom. A couple of verses I wanted to share with you about this one as well. Jesus made this really interesting statement. This is Matthew 10:16. He said, "I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves." Okay, that's interesting, because the word shrewd for us has a kind of a negative connotation, right? He's a shrewd dealer. You know, we generally try to stay away from shrewd dealers. So it has a negative idea. But I want you to notice in this verse that Jesus does not intend there to be a negative connotation, because his next statement is as innocent as doves, right? So he says, "I'm sending you out. You're going to be as innocent as doves." In other words, there's no flaw in the way that you live. You're not a sinful person. You're not an unkind person. You're not doing something with the wrong motives. But you are going to be shrewd as this innocent person. So I looked this word shrewd up. Here are all of the other ideas behind it: intelligent, prudent, sensible, and wise. So all of the he gives the example of a snake, as shrewd as serpents. We'll take that example. Now, let's rule out the idea that the snake might bite you, okay? Because he already told us to be innocent. He's not talking about that part of it. But a snake knows how to get done what he wants to get done, right? He knows how to get lunch. He's wise about how he goes about it. He's a great hunter, etc. And so I think what Jesus is saying here in this verse is, listen, you be wise. You be a thinker. You figure it out. You do whatever needs. Oh, this didn't work? Okay. Well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. You don't just give it up and abandon what things in life that God wants you to pursue. You be as innocent as doves, but you keep going and you go after it. Don't let it get away from you. A guy from a while back by the name of Edward Young wrote a really interesting statement that I enjoyed this week. He said, "Be wise with speed. A fool at 40 is a fool indeed." And you know, it just points out, it's easy to be a fool. It's easy for any one of us to live in a foolish way. You know, we have kind of like, I'm not a fool. But it's easy for any one of us to live in a foolish way. And so he's saying, be wise with speed. A fool at 40 is a fool indeed. Become wise right now, today, as soon as you can. Live your life in a wise way. All right, go on with me to the next phrase there at the end. No, I'm sorry, we're now in verse 16. Are we in verse 16? Yes, making the most of your time. Making the most of your time. All right, and this word literally could be translated redeeming the time. Okay, you know what redeeming is. It's like someone's giving you some coupon for maybe the coupon is for, what's that restaurant up there in Mineral? Sabor, Mexico. Someone gave us a coupon. Oh, you guys gave us a coupon for that. So you go up there and you order your meal and you redeem your coupon. You get the meal. And that's the idea behind this word, redeeming the time, buying back the time, rescuing it from loss. Rescuing it from loss. This is what Jesus said in John 9:4. We must work the works of Him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no man can work. Now, I knew this really well as a farmer. You know, we went out and we worked and we got hay up during the day. At night, we generally weren't out there. We were afraid the wagon wheel was going to hit a groundhog hole and we were going to lose the whole load of hay. So we were out there during the day. And Jesus is saying, listen, night is coming. Redeem the time. Buy up the time. I think they may have... Oh, no, Jane's here. Kathy was telling me when she and Jane went down to meet, I think it was Peter Farrell, right? Down in Richmond? One of the representatives down there. And so he's a really busy guy. Trying to get time with Peter Farrell evidently is not easy. And so they're waiting outside of this meeting to try to talk with him, and there are all these other people talking to him, and I think some of them were being kind of rude and interrupting and all this sort of stuff. And so they're waiting. And finally, everyone's gone, and they have the chance, and they say, hey, do you have a moment? We need to talk with you. I don't know exactly what they said, but he's like, okay, I'll tell you what. You can talk while we walk to the next meeting. And so here they go. They're walking to Peter Farrell's next meeting. How do you think they're spending their time? You know, are they like, oh, da-da-da, pretty day out today? No, indeed. They're like, they're buying that time up. They're communicating what needed to be communicated with him. And that's the idea behind these words. Redeem your time. You only have, as this video pointed out, a certain number of seconds each day. That's all you got. At the end of the day, whatever you didn't do will never be done. Buy up the time is what these verses are saying. And look at the next phrase. They're in the same verse. Making the most of your time because the days are evil. Because the days are evil. What is he talking about there? There are a number of things involved there. But here, I think, is one of the main ones. You and I are in a battle. The Bible describes this battle in great detail. That choices are being made here on this earth, a lot like the video. Choices are being made here that is going to determine the destiny of people on the earth and where they spend eternity. And those choices are being made every single day. I do want you to turn with me to one other passage of Scripture. We're going to come back here in a moment, but turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you would. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I just want us to read the first couple of these verses together. I think it helps us see this battle that we're in. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So Paul's telling Timothy, hey, find some faithful men, faithful women, entrust this stuff, give this to them, so they can then, in turn, give it to others. Now look at the very next verse. He says, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. The idea there's the idea of the battle that the souls hearts and lives of men and women are on the line, and we are engaged in this. We are called to be God's witnesses. We're called to be God's ambassadors, to be His representatives. And we're not fighting a battle with guns or knives or spears or bow and arrow where we're doing people harm. But we're fighting a battle with love, with kindness, with truth, with spiritual weapons, prayer and faith. These are the things that we're using in order to reach the hearts of men and women. And so I think it backs up the idea that when, and going back to Ephesians 5, the days are evil. We live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world that's going away from God and going to suffer because of it. And we're trying to rescue people out of that mess. I just feel a need to just pray real quick because I think this is such an important thing for us to remember and engage in this battle. Dear God, I just bow my heart before you this morning, and I pray, Lord, that just again, that you'll be the communicator here today. And Lord, I pray for myself and for each person here that we would see the reality of what's going around us. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't be taken in by the world and its attractions and distractions and the things working so hard to keep us from you and keep others from you. Lord, I just pray that you would wake us up, like that verse says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Lord, pierce our heart with that, I pray. Grab my heart with that, and use us, Lord. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so let's go on to the last phrase here, and that we're going to do verse 17 as one big phrase. Just it's kind of a summary verse, I think, for these other two that we've been going through. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what the will of the Lord is. So here God's calling us to, I guess, kind of put these thoughts together. To not be foolish, to not live in a foolish way, but to embrace God's word, God's will for our lives. This is a very common question. I hear people say this a lot. If God would just come and show me what to do, man, I would do it. You ever heard that? Have you ever said it? I have, but you know, I find it fascinating. Most of us, when we say that, we mean, God, I want to know whether I should be an accountant or an automobile mechanic. God, I want to know whether I should marry Susan or April. God, you know, we have these things in mind, and God didn't answer those questions in the Bible. I'm sorry to have to tell you that. But he didn't tell me whether to be an automobile mechanic or an engineer. He may, if you and I are walking closely with him, he may answer some of those questions. Sometimes I don't think he cares whether I'm an automobile mechanic or an engineer, to be quite honest. But he has put some other things in the Bible that are absolutely crystal clear. Obeying his will for my life. And oh my goodness, they're so clear. And so just to summarize a little bit, I mean, we could go for weeks now just talking about that. But think about the goals, the overall purposes that we've established as a church family, okay? Our three goals that we already, our three-year goals that we already talked about at the beginning are based on these other goals, these major purposes that we have as a church family. Number one, love God. Jesus said, with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Number two, love people. Love your neighbor as yourself. Number three, we set the purpose to serve the world, to become servants, just meeting the needs of people all around us. And number four, we set the purpose to reach the lost. The Bible tells us that people are lost and on their way to destruction, and we're to be God's representatives. God's will is so clear, so clear. And there's just a mountain of things. You know, people say, if God would show me what to do, I would do it. Awake, sleeper. He has shown us what to do. And I'm speaking to myself as well. These are the things that we should be about, that we should be embracing, and that we should be going after with all of our might. Well, I thank you for your attentiveness. And I just want to pray for us right now, and then we have some time, if you have thoughts or questions, for you to throw them out there. Lord, again, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for how it directs our lives, Lord, and just for these verses that encourage us, challenge us to be careful how we walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. And so, Lord, I pray that we would be thoughtful, that we would seek you, Lord, that we wouldn't let the world trick us and lead us in a bad direction, but, Lord, that we'd choose you, that we'd just make this our daily life, our daily habit of following you, Lord. And we pray it together this morning in Christ's name. Amen.